Hi, my name is Lorna Brown. I am from the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and my home community right now is Terrace, BC.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Lorna. I'd like to just get right into it. I'd like you to tell me about the making of the film Adawik. I'd like if you could tell me kind of when you started thinking about it and how you built the team, what it was like to make it, if you could just, yeah, if you would just share that experience.
Yes. So about, it's been just over 16 years now since my niece, Tamara Chipman, went missing. Our family has been very active in the Highway of Tears ever since she went missing. So it's not something that you ever, you know, plan to be a part of, just being an activist or being just involved in the murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls awareness. But, you know, she did go missing in September 2005, and so our family started walks. It was actually my cousin Florence Nizel, who lives in Witsit, who started the first walk that our family was involved in. But there, you know, since then we had always heard about women and younger girls going missing along the Highway of Tears, which is from Prince Rupert to Prince George. And so since about 1969 is kind of, and it probably was happening before then, but it was recorded in 1969 that women, specifically Indigenous women that had been going missing, and that highway was dubbed the Highway of Tears from my my cousin Florence organizing the first walk, and that was in 2006. And she just really felt like she needed to do something, and there had been a few girls that had gone missing from our community of Witsit and Smithers area, and you know, and she just felt like we just need to do something. So that was kind of the beginning of our family getting involved with the Highway of Tears. And so of course, you know, we had a lot of family members participate, and my sister Gladys Raddick came up from Vancouver and wanted to be involved in that walk, because we felt so helpless and felt like we need to do something to raise that awareness. She since went on to do quite a few walks right across the country, and she since moved back to Terrace. So we've always documented, you know, through pictures and video of the different walks that we had. And so, yeah, we just always felt that we wanted to share our story, so that, for one thing, we never want this to happen to anybody. And we want to be able to keep the awareness there, and we also want to just educate the public on how important and how loved that the women that have gone missing or have been murdered, just exactly how much they are loved, and that they were real important, and they're, you know, they were the matriarchs, they were the life givers that never, their lives were cut short, and in so many cases with no answers. So that's kind of how the idea came about. So Wanda Good, who is also a family member who lost her niece, Alberta Williams, or her cousin, pardon me, Alberta Williams and Lana Derrick. And she approached me and we were going to put together a video and just to tell our story and share the stories of our loved ones. And then it just kind of took off from there. We were able to acquire the services of Michael Borking, who's lives in the Hazelton area, and he's a filmmaker, and one thing just turned into another, and we ended up with the film, Adalic.
Amazing. And I know that I saw on Facebook that in July you showed a family preview to the people who were interviewed for the movie. How was that received by them? And how did you feel watching them watch it for the first time?
Well, as you can imagine, it's been a very long road. When I was approached, I work with CFNR Radio, so that's kind of how I got involved, because we do, you know, video projects, usually on a smaller scale. We're not filmmakers, but and so with that, it just kind of evolved, and I ended up just being more involved in the whole process because I am a family member, and I do know the stories, and I have relationships with so many of the families of the missing and murdered. So for me, you know, obviously it was a big heart project. It was something that I felt very protective of. So often people come into our area and, you know, even from different countries, like we've had people come and tell our stories from all over, and they always have their own narrative on, you know, what they want people to know about, you know, our loved ones and the issues that we face. And so this is the first time ever that an Indigenous family has actually been able to direct and produce a film, and it's told completely from our perspective. So I feel like the families felt like they were really listened to, and that, you know, because I was able to interview the families, coming up with the questions and just kind of being involved in every part of the process of developing the film. And so the families felt very much at ease and very much appreciative of someone who totally experiences what they've experienced, and I'm not just some person who has no idea of what they really feel like. So it was quite amazing leading up to that point. Very heavy for myself, because I'm a family member myself, but I, you know, was still wanting to tell the stories of the other families as well, so including my own family. So my brother, Tamara was his only daughter, and then of course my sister. So they're interviewed in the film, and so yeah, there are certain parts that you just kind of carry yourself, I guess, because I'm a family member, but I'm also trying to complete this story and allowing others to share their story. So I feel like the families just really felt very understood, and that their stories really did come across in the way that they felt that their loved ones deserved, and in a respectful way. So I received a lot of, you know, obviously lots of heartfelt hugs and just like, you know, it's such a it's such a deep, hurtful, and still at times the grieving doesn't go away. So even though it is such a, they felt like their stories were told in such a real way, it still hurts after all these years. And but overall, families were just very, very appreciative and felt that they were truly being heard.
Wow, that's really powerful. And that my next question was too, like, you know, what that felt like for you to be breaking ground on a film like this, and to, as an Indigenous woman, helping share this story, but also, you know, guiding families through this process with your own connection to it as well. Lorna, I wonder, October 4th marked the day to honor the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit who have been stolen from their families. In the National Inquiry report into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, it calls for, quote, transformative legal and social changes to resolve the crisis that has devastated Indigenous communities across the country for so long. And I wonder, and I, you know, apologize if this is a really heady question, but I'm very interested to know, what role do you think your film plays in transforming the perception, understanding, and exposure of this epidemic within our communities, and then also on a national level?
So our family also was involved with the National Inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, with the first of the hearings. I believe that might have been their second stop, but that was held in Smithers, BC, where our family was actually able to come and share our testimony of my niece going missing. And so from there, my sister was invited to be a part of the family advisory circle. And so I was actually able to travel with her as well. And we traveled all across Canada, right over to Newfoundland, and were able to take part directly in the inquiry. So I feel like the film is, because we can relate to all of the women that went missing or have been murdered, you know, so many families still don't have answers. And I think the fact that their families can be remembered, and it allows for that testimony, and that kind of is what the whole film is about, because Adawish means our stories, our history, and the fact that our stories are on that totem pole. And so I think it just allows the memories of our loved ones to not go in vain, like that our women were, you know, they were mothers, daughters, aunties, cousins, sisters, and they were loved, and they had families, and they were not just another number added to this big, large problem that we felt like we thought that. You know, I guess you just focus in on what happens in the Northwest. And then once my sister started traveling across, that's when she realized that there was over 4,000 women that had gone missing across the country. So we feel like this is just a small part of the larger story. And I think the more we can continue to tell these stories and honor our loved ones in the way that they deserve to be honored, I think it is healing to a lot of families. And we, you know, obviously when you're a part of such a small, it's a small population of families, and you become really good, like your friendships that you make just because you're a part of this group that nobody ever wanted to be a part of. But when there's something healing though about being able to be together and actually share in each other's stories, I think there's a little bit of at least a little bit of a healing that takes place. It doesn't take the pain away, but it definitely makes it more bearable. So, you know, and our goal, I guess, is always to just keep bearing witness to what our families have been through and are still going through.
Lorna Brown, I want to thank you so much for giving me your time today. I know you're tired. I know you're probably just exhausted, and I don't know how many of these interviews that you've been doing, but I really, really appreciate that you took the time to speak with me today. My last question was just, where can people watch ADAWIC?
So ADAWIC has been accepted into the Imaginative Film Festival. So we do have a webpage, ADAWIC Film. It's ADAAWK film.com. And we also have a Facebook page. All the information is there. The Imaginative Film Festival is October 19th to the 24th. However, ADAWIC will be available on demand October 21st to the 23rd. So it's a 48-hour period. And from there, you can get all the information on our website and how you can purchase tickets and to be able to watch the film. And also, just one thing I didn't mention is there's also an activist panel, which I was a part of as well. I did also, once I submitted the film, they did ask me to sit on a panel for activism. And so there was four of us chosen to sit on that panel. So that is also going to be on Imaginative. So there's a ton of information on Imaginative. It's an amazing film festival and arts festival. So I invite anybody to check that out as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Lorna.